Hello, everybody, and welcome to Podnuts Daily. I am Door-to-Door Geek, a.k.a. Steve McLaughlin. Podnuts Daily is the podcast where we go through the daily routine of your average computer tech. I will say today, we do not have an average computer tech. Also, I will ask everybody, please do not forget, this is the time of the year, podnuts.com/Amazon. Buy your gifts from a very reputable source and do not pay a dime extra and support Podnuts. It's a win, as far as I'm concerned. Joining me tonight is Eric Ardini from Silicon Wrench and from Geeksters.tv. How's everything going, man?
It's going really good, Dor. It's been a busy week. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Oh, no problem, man. I'm not going to lie. I've been listening to Geeksters pretty much since episode one, and I got to say, it's only good stuff from beginning to end, and now they have you on it, which, to be honest, is a plus, because Eric is very in the trenches, hands-on, sees a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, I enjoy doing the Geeksters.tv podcast. It's been really nice working with Freddie and Mitch and Tim Bauermeister. It's kind of brings back, you know, the Unbootables, you know, the same crew, but less nudity and violence and cussing, I think.
Yes.
And more tech.
Yes. Well, and I will say, Mitch Heyman is the producer, the man behind all of the technology, making all that stuff happen. So I got to send a shout out to him.
Yeah, he definitely does all the work. I just kind of stand there and give out, spew my thoughts, you know, and he's the one that makes all the magic and puts it up for people to listen to. If you don't mind, I'll talk a little bit more about the Geeksters.tv. Just today, we started a contest. We're going to give away a Raspberry Pi. I don't know if they're as scarce now as they were when I got this one and when you got yours, Dora. Do you know if are they still real limited?
They kind of are, because supposedly they are selling more than 10,000 pies a day, and some people are still waiting multiple weeks to get theirs.
Okay. Well, we're going to give one away. Along with that, we're giving away a very nice case from Cook Technologies, Inc. at www.cooktechnologies.com. And this case, I'm just going to leave it all wrapped up in the case. I've already got it installed. But this is a steel Raspberry Pi case. It's made by, like I said, Cook Technologies, but it's made by Americans in America. This thing is not a cheap plastic piece of crap like a lot of the cases for Raspberry Pis are. It fits it perfectly. It's got not only like foam in there, but it's also got a big chunk of silicone that just keeps the board that the Raspberry Pi, if anybody doesn't know what a Raspberry Pi is, it's just basically a small motherboard with it's got a video out, an analog video out, a headphone jack on one side. It's got two USB ports and an Ethernet jack on another side. On another side, it has HDMI, and on the back, on the last side, it has a mini USB or micro USB and an SD card slot. And then this case has a cutout on the top where you can see your LED lights that are built onto the board. And you could stand on this case and not hurt your Raspberry Pi. It's really nice. And if you go on eBay and you can buy it, this case, they just put it on sale. I think it's like $5 cheaper than it was before. It's like $23 now. And basically, if you type into eBay Raspberry Pi case steel, this is the only one that's going to come up. Yeah. I think it was Cook Tech Inc. or something like that in the
absolutely. Yeah, and I'm not sure if the price drop is a sale, because it used to be, I think, $28. Now it's $23 with free shipping. That is ultra competitive with even the cheap cases for the Pi. And I will say, this is 19 gauge steel. For someone who does not understand steel thicknesses, like Eric said, you can stand on it. I have no doubt in my mind if a zombie apocalypse happened tomorrow, I could use this to protect myself.
Yeah. And one more thing about Cook Technologies, Inc. If anybody has ever listened to the podcast, The Techie Geek, they will definitely know Russ Wenner. And he actually worked for Cook Technologies when they designed this case. A big part with the help of Door-to-Door Geek, right?
Yeah, I got two of them as soon as they came out, and I shipped one to Russ for like 2 weeks. I thought he was going to play with it. I thought he was going to install Linux, try to install XBMC, put it on his network, try to do some server stuff. Like 2 months later, I found out, oh no, that's not what he did. He brought it into his work and explained to the president about this fad that's getting ready to hit called a Raspberry Pi. Mini-ish computers are really starting to become really popular. The Pi is like the size of a credit card and can stream HD 1080i content or 1080p content. And he explained to him what it was and the importance of this and how they had literally, I think it was 500,000 pre-orders or something. And he explained to him how we need to make a case for this now. And he said for like a week, they scanned and they measured and they did dimensions and extremely HD pictures with measurements to make this case perfectly form fitting. And I got to say, they did a excellent job.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. And this is, maybe it's even more valuable. This is one of the first 25 that ever came off the assembly line there. And I think, Dor, you've got the number one that came off, right? Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That's very neat. Russ, actually, we met up with him out at Ohio Linux Fest for the Podnuts meetup is why I was out there. And it was just cool that he had these cases. And then for him to hook me up with one out there, man, that's very cool. And yeah, I immediately put it in. I've never had any reason to take it out. It doesn't get hot in there or nothing. It works really well. And I originally got the Pi thinking I would make like a Lego case, you know, or something. They all just looked, they weren't very perfect, I guess.
Yeah, I had two of those previous ones, and I can safely say they were pieces of garbage that were very easy to break. Putting them together, I broke one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. And I will say, hurry up, listen to geeksters.tv, and you can find out how to get one completely for free.
Yeah. Episode 49 is where we give you the details, which actually we just recorded it about a half an hour ago. So it might be a little bit before it gets up.
Oh, that's okay. I'll rather give people a heads up than tell them that they just missed it.
And if this podcast isn't up for a while, actually, and if you listen to this after January 8th, we already gave it away.
January 8th? Oh, yeah, January 8th. I forgot the month, Eric. I'm confused. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to give it away next year, you know, so it's a long time from now, right?
Plenty of time. Very cool. Now, can I ask real quick for a little background on how you do computer repair business? Do you spend a lot of time in your car? Do you do a lot of remote work? Do you have a shop?
Okay. I, since March, have a shop. I've got a very, very, very nice location right in the downtown of my city. I've worked previously out of my car. For a long time, I worked part-time out of my car while I had a full-time job, and then a couple years ago, I just decided to go full-time with it. I was working out of my house and out of my car. My house was kind of nice because it was set up where there was these pocket doors and I could block off the front part of the house from the rest of the house. And I kept that as my office. Actually, I guess before when the house was built, the person who built it, his wife used to give piano lessons at the house. So, and he was a police officer, so he was trying to sleep at different times. So they would do that. She would give her piano lessons in the front of the house and I would, and he would sleep. So I use that for the shop. And then, in January of last year, almost a year ago, I guess now, it was probably maybe December. I was working on a computer at one of my business customers, and he's also he owns a furniture store, and he also owns quite a bit of property. He's a landlord and owns a few buildings and things. And I was working on his computer, and a couple guys approached him while I was there, and they were asking about the shop, the store that was next door. That was a Nextel store. It was right next to his furniture store, and they're like, "We noticed that that Nextel store is always closed. So they're going to be moving out pretty soon." And he's like, "Yeah, yeah." He's going to be moving out. And they're like, "Well, could we rent it?" And he's like, "No, it's not for rent." And they're like, "What?" And then later he's like, "Hey, because they wanted to make a computer shop there." Gotcha. And later he comes over to me. He's like, "Hey, these guys wanted to open up a computer store. I told them to get lost." I'm like, "Dude, don't." He goes, "Yeah, I did that for you." I'm like, "Don't do that for me. I mean, it's your rent, man. I don't care what you do. You know, I'm not ready for a shop or anything like that. Bring it, you know. Competition's fine. I'm sure if they're good, maybe they'll hire me or something, you know." And so he ended up renting it to him anyway. Actually, it was the next time I was in there working on his stuff. They actually came back that time, and they set up a deal, and he rented it to him. And I visited there after they got open. Basically, they were doing computer repair, mm-hmm. selling cigarettes, doing eBay work for people, and selling tools. On the outside of the outside of the store, the sign said eBay tools and computer repair on the sign. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so I walked in. Well, I say there. It's here. This is the place. So I walked in, and it smelled like cigarettes. It was just nasty. A bunch of, you know, 6-year-old used Dell computers just sitting around all over the place. Really gross. Just, and then this place used to be a restaurant, and they had like kind of like the back wall was like half open, where the guy would like serve the food through the wall to the waitresses to go. They left that, and then if you went in the way back, that's where you would slide your computer to the guy working back where the kitchen used to be. And that's how you'd get your computer fixed. And then I think they were kind of doing the eBay stuff in the basement. At last, they were here for 4 or 5 months. And then basically, I don't know, they just went under. And they, unfortunately, there was a lot of nice fixtures and glass cases that Nextel had left in the shop. They took all of those except for the one big one. They couldn't fit out the door because it was too big. Mm-hmm. And he approached me. He told me that this place was empty. And I'm like, "Well, it's a really tough time." It was it was about Christmas time last year. I'm like, it's a really tough time. There's no way I'm ever going to be able to afford a rent. I'd love to, but it's just not going to happen. And he's like, "Well, come back tomorrow, and I'll tell you what I'll do, and I'll make it worth you coming back tomorrow."
Wow.
So I did, and the guy was nice enough. He this is a sweetheart deal, man. He gave me the place for no rent for the first year. I have to pay rent at the end, but I don't have to pay him any rent until the end of the first year. Wow. So I would have time to build my business without having that expense of the rent going out every month.
Right. And
so I could
fix up the place.
Yeah. And actually, I remodeled the whole thing. I painted everything. Me and a couple friends laid carpet here. He paid for the carpet, but we laid it. He got some sweat equity out of me. I mean, if all else fails, he knows I'm good for the money, whether I have to go and borrow it at the end of the year or what, but he's pretty comfortable with what's going on. And his store looks beautiful. I replaced all the gross ceiling tiles. Everybody who comes in here thinks it's really nice. And, it was a good month straight that I worked in here. Just fixing this place up, because it's a 100-year-old, probably 150-year-old building. It's old, wow. But, yeah, it's nice. I got a vinyl cutter, and I put a bunch of stickers on the ceiling or on the walls and stuff. And right above my head right now, there's a nice Android sticker.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, the two things I take away from that is, A, good things happen to good people. If you weren't such a good tech to him up front, I don't know if he would have ever even told the other guy to get lost, he would have ever made the deal for you. And secondly, if those people had what at least sounded like a junk shop, you're going to get junk customers. You know, how your business looks determines what kind of people walk in your door. And you put a lot of time into making this place, you know, look presentable and professional.
Right. Yeah. I would have to say I'm not the worst looking computer shop in town. There's others that I would say are just as nice, you know. I wouldn't say there's any really, they're about the same. Most of us are about the same, the three main shops, and there's one shop that's still selling the junk, and they, you know, now there's signs missing letters on it and things like that, and there's just a bad vibe with that whole place, you know. But
yeah.
And I'm getting a lot of their customers recently too.
Well, you know, sooner or later they're going to understand if we pay less, we're probably actually getting less. Let's pay a little bit more and get things fixed.
Yeah, and I don't know how much less people are paying there. Honestly, this week alone, I've learned a lot about that, my competitor there. I was on site and at a realty place, and their computer was running slow, and they were having problems printing to a network printer. So I came in, and he had a Lenovo desktop on the floor that he had bought from them a year ago. When I booted up, it had a Gateway BIOS in it. The guy, what they're doing, they're pulling motherboards out of other computers and throwing them in nicer looking cases and things. I never would have even imagined doing this stuff. But and then I had another one this week, this elderly lady that I went to yesterday, the day before, she called me up because she wanted me to pick her computer up. And this is a service I offer. And I would say if you have somebody who can cover your shop for you, or if you're working out of your house in your car, elderly people, really appreciate the pickup and drop off service. I tell them that you can't afford me to sit there and do my work at your house.
Right.
But I will come pick it up and unhook it for you, bring it back to my shop, fix it, and bring it back and hook it back up for you and explain what I did. And people are so appreciative with that because, for one, physically, maybe they can't crawl under the desk and do it and get everything unhooked. And second, when they come to your shop, take it back home, they're not going to know in that dark corner of a desk. They're not going to know what hooks into where the speaker wire needs to go into a green hole. They don't know this stuff.
Right. And the other little side benefit is you get to see their other hardware and, well, this plug's loose, this plug's worn, you know, kind of thing. So that's a win-win. Yeah.
So while I was on site to go pick up this computer, I'm like, well, let me just see what it's doing. Can you show me what the problem is? You know, and I always do this too. Let them show me. But basically, she has Comcast email, and she's got a link right on her desktop. She had another person who had worked on her computer maybe a year ago. Kind of, I don't know what he put some memory in it for her, I think. And he's the one who told her, hey, your computer has old parts in it. And he told her that, you know, and then she told me where she got it from. I'm like, wow, that's weird. That's the second one this week.
Wow.
But, so that kid put, and I don't know why she didn't go back to him or what the story was there, but he had put memory in it. And, he was nice enough. He left her a stick of memory. She asked me what she was supposed to do with this. And I'm like, well, I can't really do nothing with it. I'll take it if you send your way or whatever. But, so she had this Comcast link on her desktop, and she just clicks that, and she wasn't using Outlook Express, thank goodness, because that's usually how it happens. But she was using the Comcast online email. But when she would click that link, I don't know if she had like some kind of a twitch in her finger that was hitting the mouse scroll button or what, but it would open 25 tabs of her Comcast email.
Wow.
Right off that link. And that was exactly why it was running very slow.
You'll have that, yeah.
And she was having problems with her email. So I closed all those tabs out, saved her a new link. I'm like, okay, so now you're going to click. I couldn't get the Comcast favicon back on her icon on her desktop. I guess I didn't think about it too much. So she had a Chrome icon for email now. I just named it email. I'm like, so click on this one now to go to your email. And it opens one tab. Comcast came right up. The kid who had installed the memory told her never to do any updates because you can't trust them. So,
oh my Lord.
I went ahead and updated her Flash and Java for her. And her other problem was on Facebook, she was having a hard time playing some kind of slot game.
Right.
And that fixed that. So,
yeah.
Basically, that was it. I go, is there any other problems that I can do for you? Because, honestly, I don't think I need to take this computer. There was no evidence of any viruses at all on the computer. It seemed running fine. It had Microsoft Security Essentials on it. It was up to date. Basically, I just left her with it. I'm like, if you have any problems, let me know, and I'll definitely, you know, come back. And I can pick up your computer whenever you want and do a cleaning on it, but I don't think you need to spend that kind of money at this point. She said she was also a little concerned about renting her cable modem from Comcast. So because it costs her $7 a month, I told her, well, you can buy one for $100 and we can put it in there and, you know, I'll come and I go, it's kind of tricky to set it up. You got to call Comcast and you got to do some setup with them over the phone. And she goes, well, I won't know what I'm going to buy. I'm like, whenever you're ready, just call me. I'll get the modem for you. I'll come to the house and I'll set it up for you. Just let me know. So hopefully I've got a future customer there. And we took care of it quickly. And she was really appreciative, you know. And she was so cool. She was probably, you know, 70 or 80 years old.
Right.
And she was asking me about Apple computers because she thinks those are really cool. And I really love people who try tech, you know. My parents don't even have internet. They'll never hear this podcast unless, you know, sometime in the future. But they haven't had internet since it was dial-up, and they had web TV. You know, they were cutting edge at the day, but it was so frustrating. They just kind of gave up. My dad's got internet at work, and my mom just plays solitaire. She's not missing it, hon.
Gotcha. Well, dude, I've got to say, man, that's the kind of thing that I honestly believe will come back tenfold to you. It might take 3 months, it might take 6 months, but she'll tell a grandkid or a neighbor or her cousin, and you might not even know it, but you will get more business because you were honest to her.
Yeah, yeah. And you leave a few business cards there.
Yes.
And her daughter was there the whole time, and her daughter, you know, was probably a little older than me even, and, you know, she could probably go somewhere and tell people too, you know.
Right.
And there's a reason why that kid didn't come back, and here's one thing where I missed out. I didn't ask her how she heard about me or how, because she had already talked to one of my competitors in this town and they didn't return her phone call. And she was upset about that. And she called them back after they didn't return their phone call and they told her that they couldn't get somebody out there today.
Wow.
It would be a week, maybe two, before they could get there. So that's what I'm up against, you know. So I think it's just as free as can be right now. You know, I'll take anything that my competitors are going to let me take.
Right. Well, customer service for the win.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to give bad customer service, there's going to be somebody there to give good customer service, and you're going to lose them sooner or later.
Exactly. And the kid must have. I'm thinking the kid couldn't have been a real kid because to tell somebody to not do updates is something that was popular like 10 years ago.
Right. Well, and what I think he had like adware. Oh, here's another thing. He left AusLogix on the desktop. Malwarebytes was sitting right there on the desktop when I came in.
Right.
I'm like, man, and that's something you don't do. If you're going to use tools like that, don't leave them on somebody's desktop for them to play with and break their computer with.
Right.
Possibly, you know, or
yeah, I mean, like when I go pick up my car, there isn't a wrench on my passenger seat.
Right. good analogy. Yes, yeah, exactly like that.
It's just, dare I say, lazy to keep your tools lying around. And it's not that we should hide them from the end user, but they don't want them anyway. If they did, they would have did a Google search and found them all on their own.
Right. Yeah, and then, you know, next thing you know, you're leaving hijack this on somebody's computer, and they
think you're hijacking them.
they actually run it and start clicking some things that they don't think they need running.
Dude.
You know, there's some of these programs, you know, or CombiFix even sometimes, you know. There's just things that you can use in your shop to a point, but there's things that I use that I don't use the full potential of.
Right.
And they could probably do some damage, I suppose. You know.
Oh, yeah. Hijack this can definitely leave a computer unbootable. I can attest to that. I've done it on accident.
Yeah, and I haven't used Hijack This for a long time, but I remember that about the same era as like AdAware and, you know, SpyBot Search and Destroy kind of stuff.
Exactly. Wasn't that one of the worst looking applications ever?
Which one?
SpyBot.
Oh, yeah. It tried to look nice.
It tried, but it was obvious. It was like, you know, 14-year-old kid couldn't do it. Well, that's cool. Do you have any more stories from the past weeks?
Yeah. I have a couple Dell laptops that came in this week. One of them was a 17-inch Dell. It was a brand new computer. Actually, I found out that it was 40 days old.
Wow.
Because its motherboard was bad, and he wanted to get a new computer. And they said, no, it's more than 30 days old.
Oh.
We will send out a tech with a hard drive. Okay, basically, this guy brings in a computer, it won't boot. This thing won't even boot into the EUFI.
Or right.
UEFI? I can never remember what.
One or the other. Yeah. 220, 221.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. So it would boot into like the old Phoenix BIOS.
Okay.
That part would come up if you hit F2, you know. But right. If you were to hit F12 and try to select your boot device, the only thing you could get was a USB boot. For some reason, I could not boot to a DVD. I could not boot to a hard drive. In the BIOS, in the Phoenix BIOS, it's registered. You could see the hard drive. You could see the DVD drive.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Was this a Windows 8 computer?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if you know Secure Boot. Microsoft has designated for you to have a Windows 8 sticker on your computer, you have to have enabled what's called Secure Boot. Secure Boot will not let you boot to anything except for a genuine Windows install. You have to go into the BIOS and disable Secure Boot to boot from a DVD or a CD that's not genuine Windows 8.
Okay. Yeah, I did that.
Okay, good.
Basically, he had already been through it, a tech of Dell's, before he brought it in. You know, gotcha. He was on the phone with them. He said, since day one with this computer, there was a crackling noise in the speaker whenever you turned it on.
What?
Yeah, he didn't tell me this until after I had experienced it here. And I asked him about it. He goes, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you about that. I forgot to tell those guys that about that, too. So there's a crackling noise as soon as you turn it on. I thought that it was trying to boot from a DVD. It's what it sounded like, sort of.
Gotcha.
Until I flipped it over, and there's a subwoofer underneath this Dell that was just crackling.
Wow.
Yeah, and so he's already went through it, through all the... They tried to walk him through changing the BIOS settings, you know, Secure Boot, everything, and they decided, well, I'm just going to send you a repair CD, the Windows 8 CD and a Dell drivers and program CD.
Gotcha.
And we'll fix it then. So we got those in, and actually he had the computer here because I tried. You know, he's like, well, maybe you can do something with this because he already knows he's going to lose all his stuff. It's a business. It's a business computer. So he doesn't want to lose all his stuff. So he brings it to me. I go ahead and clone his hard drive. I test his hard drive. His hard drive tests fine. I also did use a FABS auto backup, got a backup of his data. Unfortunately, he hadn't done a QuickBooks backup for quite a while, for like a week or two. So he's already kind of bummed out that he's going to have to re-enter all of those transactions for the last 2 weeks in the QuickBooks. I'm like, well, if I can do a clone of your hard drive, I may be able to get you at least back to today.
Right.
I might be able to, you know, if everything goes perfect, you might not have to worry about that. So they send him so he gives it to me and I'm looking through the BIOS. I never was able to even get into the EUFI BIOS. I never even saw that graphical interface come up whatsoever. I did Secure Boot on, I did everything I possibly could. I did put a Google Plus post up, and I don't know if you saw it, where when I was in the BIOS and I was just messing around, and I looked and I was going to change it from SATA, from AHCI to IDE mode.
Right.
and it gave me a warning. It popped up, said, warning, changing this will prevent you from being able to boot from Windows. I'm like, yeah, you know, because it wouldn't
boot Windows, anyway.
Windows sees it either as IDE or AHCI. It doesn't work both. It only goes one way.
Right.
And Windows won't work both ways. So, but even in that BIOS, prevent was spelled P-E-R-V-E-N-T.
Oh.
Yeah. How does that happen in this day and age? I mean.
Well, I'll just say anyone, here's my honest to goodness opinion, Windows 8 is still very, 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 very new. I wouldn't buy one. If I was a business, I would literally wait 3 months for these kind of things to be smoothed out, because it could be an error in flashing the BIOS, or it might have been a hardware issue. I mean, if it's a motherboard issue, it could be something on a chip. Could be that, but a spelling error in a BIOS, that's just bad. I mean,
it is. Bad. It's sloppy, and that just shows you the quality that's going in if they're not even looking for misspellings in the BIOS. There's only so many words to spell in a BIOS.
True.
You know, it's not even a quarter of a chapter of a book.
Wow. So what's he going to do? I mean, he's 40 days, and he obviously didn't get any extended warranty, right?
Yeah, he doesn't need extended warranty at this point. They come with a year warranty.
Okay.
But they're not, he's kind of, okay. Well, here's what I did, though. So I did see in the old legacy BIOS, I could boot from a USB. So I installed Windows 8 onto a USB and tried to boot from it. It booted up right into the USB.
Wow. I'm like,
well, maybe I can do a repair install, you know, or do something, a recovery console or something.
Right.
I get in there, and then everything I would try to do, it would say the hard drive is locked. The hard drive is locked, which I don't even know what that means, you know, at that point, but it wouldn't let me do anything. So basically the CDs came in the mail, the DVDs came in the mail.
Okay.
And we go through it, and it won't read from a genuine Dell DVD. It will not even do anything from it. The Dell tech is going through the BIOS, changing everything to exactly what's on his screen. And we're just missing things. We're missing options.
They're not there.
Oh, there's just not, you know, there should be a boot from DVD option that's just missing, gone. So all we can say is the Dell tech said, and the guy, he's like, you know, I can't really trust this computer. I can you just send me a new computer? No, that if it was in 30 days, we could have done that, but it's 40 days. So we're going to send a tech out with a hard drive, a motherboard, and a speaker to your place to replace them. I'm like, well, so
that's not good customer service.
That's where we're at. Yeah. And he goes, and I guess from what he said, he's been buying Dells for 20 years for his business. And he's like, so you're going to lose a customer over 10 days, huh? That's, you know, he didn't have the patience with the Indian tech support like I have grown to have now, because you really can't get fired up about it. It's going to get you absolutely nowhere talking to them in a customer service kind of way, because they don't give a crap. If what you got isn't on their sheet in front of you, don't even try asking the question. And if you think you're going to get any sympathy out of them for anything, they don't care.
Well, I'm not trying to sound dumb, Eric. I've known you for over a year now. I can't picture you getting fired up, period.
I used to until I got to the point where I realized it does not help whatever at all.
Gotcha.
It doesn't help.
And, so, wow.
And the guy's like, I don't know how you do it, man. I'm like, well, that's why I get paid by the hour, because I can sit on the phone with these jagoffs for 2 hours to get nowhere, where, and I know what the problem is.
Right.
Usually, you know, and I'm just, and if you try to help them along, it's like, oh, you're on the wrong page. No, we're not in that chapter of my recovery book that I'm reading to you, sir. Just wait.
Right. Yeah. See, that's why I encourage everybody I talk to about buying computers, buy the better support, buy the premium support, the gold support, platinum, whatever they call it, because you deal with more knowledgeable techs, people more willing to, that understand I'm talking to a tech now, not talking to Sally Homemaker.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes you wonder if that's what's going on too.
Yeah. Wow. That's not a good computer. I hope there's nobody out there suffering with a brand new Windows 8 computer through this kind of thing, because it sounds like it was just shipped before it was ready.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was even Windows 8. I don't know, man.
I'm thinking it was Dell.
Yeah, I do too.
Wow, not good. And this is maybe the major computer manufacturer for the United States. Hopefully it's just a lemon, you know, one out of 1,000, but not good.
So I kind of told him, I'm like, you know, talk to the tech, see if he'll do the motherboard first and put your hard drive back in it, you know, while he's on site. And then if that works, either have me clone your hard drive over to your brand new hard drive he's going to give you and send back the old one, or just send back the brand new one and go with your hard drive that you've got.
Gotcha.
Now, another original problem he was having was sleep mode. It would not wake up out of sleep mode ever quite correctly. And he said you'd always have to hit the power button 2 times for it to come up. So I originally had figured that it must have been, you know, maybe he damaged the hard drive by powering it down while it was trying to wake up or something like that. But it really didn't seem to be a problem with the hard drive. It was just other stuff.
Wow. That's a scary story. Do you have a not so scary story?
I've got another motherboard problem on a Dell laptop.
Oh, no, not again.
Fairly new.
Okay.
So, yeah, this is my week, man. You know, honestly, I've never been one to not recommend Dell laptops to people. People ask me HP. I'm like, You know, I'm kind of been scared, kind of shy on HPs. But I don't know, maybe I need to start revisiting HPs and maybe starting shy away from these, because this is a Windows 7 one that I worked on this week. And when it came in, it wouldn't boot, and it gave 7 really loud beeps, and that was
okay.
It. Did a quick Google search, and if you even go into Google and type in Dell M5030,
it follows it with 7 beeps?
The second thing that comes up is 7 beeps.
Oh my goodness, no.
It's so bad. This is one of these Dells where there's no accessible parts from the bottom where there's no trap doors to get to your memory, no way to get to the hard drive. Basically, you got to pull the keyboard out and take every screw out of the bottom and separate it and pull the palm rest up before you can even get to your memory and hard drive.
Wow.
Which is fine. And I don't know if they do it now, but there was a point when Best Buy wouldn't even touch these. The local Best Buy Geek Squad wouldn't work on them.
I can't blame them. You literally have to take the whole thing apart to get to one thing.
You do. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, I pulled it out and I pulled it apart and looked, and it looked good. Everything was fine. I tested the hard drive. It was fine. The, Google search comes up with 7 beeps. Mm-hmm. Says that's a processor error.
Okay.
And there's a real easy fix. Pull the motherboard out. This is not a fix, by the way, everybody. But if you've got a hot air rework station, you can fix these all day long at 300 degrees for about a minute.
Reflow.
So, yeah, you just reflow them and they come back. And you got to explain. I explained to my customer that this is, you know, you've got a bad motherboard, and this laptop is known for bad motherboards. If you go on Google, you probably already, maybe he already knew it, but your computer's working now. And I told him, I go, I can reflow this and we can give it a try. It's going to cost you $85.
Right.
If it doesn't work, I'll keep it for the labor, for parts, for another computer. You know, I might be able to use something out of it. If it works, we can get you going for $85. And honestly, pulling them apart, you know, I pull apart laptops all the time, so it's not a big deal to me.
Good.
But it's just kind of crappy that they don't let you access at least your memory from the bottom. So, like, the average Joe can go to Staples, buy another 2 gig stick and, you know, make their computer a little faster. You know, that's not really fair, I don't think. You know.
Not smart.
No. But no, basically, I pulled the motherboard out, set it on the bench, warmed up the whole motherboard a little bit with my hot air rework station, set it to 300 degrees, and then basically tinfoiled everything off to kind of suck up the heat, and just except for the processor and the graphics chip.
Gotcha.
worked on each of them for about 20 seconds. And then I did the other chip too. There was another one that was covered by the heatsink, and then I did them all for 20 seconds. And then I went back and did another 10 seconds on each of them. Let it all cool down, 'cause it gets hot.
Yeah.
And it was very hot, and, put it all back together, booted right up.
Wow. So it is just a reflow. So that, quick question. Does your hot air gun also include like, the laser temperature reader thing, so you know you're not going too hot or that you've hit the right temperature?
No, I don't have a laser temperature thing. It's I don't know how it measures its temperature. It's got an LED readout on the front, mm-hmm. and I can set it to 300. Gotcha. And I can watch it go up in temperature, you know, until it gets to 300.
Gotcha. Well, super quick question. How mm-hmm. long, if it was your laptop, would you expect it to work or feel safe with like it working?
Man, I've never had one come back.
Really?
So I don't know. If it was me, I'd be happy if it lasted 6 months after something like that.
Gotcha.
That's just me, but I don't know how long they're lasting.
Yeah, because I know Lotfi always insisted reflow is not a fix, it's a temporary solution. Mm-hmm. And to fix it, you actually have to reball it, which is a much, much more complicated process.
Yeah, and actually, my competition, well, there's an electronics place right across the street from here. Mm-hmm. He's got the reballing equipment, the IR machine that does all that. And right. I've never used him yet to do it, but he right. says he can. I've never seen him,
Well, I believe it's kind of expensive because it's very time consuming. And like I believe Lafi said, if you get one of those little micro balls wrong, you have to undo it and redo the whole thing. So it really does take skill.
Yeah. I don't do enough of them to probably make it worth my while. You know, back, it used to be, you know, every, you know, DV7s all the time, really? Having basically the same kind of problem.
Right.
You know, I didn't have nearly as the success with those though. This one, maybe I just got lucky. I don't know. Customer was pretty happy.
Very
you
cool.
know, I just told him, I go, it's either $200 to fix it, or I can make it work for $85, you know, basically it's what, and if I can't make it work, then, you know, we'll do the other thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, see, those kind of things would literally cause me to just profusely sweat when I come across those kinds of issues, especially after typing that into Google and seeing your second autocomplete down is 7 beeps.
It makes me lose my faith in Dell, man. You know, yeah. I don't know. I maybe it was like the Walmart cheapie, and honestly, this was his kids' computer. Mm-hmm. The kids looked like, I mean, they had fingerprints all over the screen so nastily, you know, it was just gross.
Right.
And, you know, they may have set it on the comforter too long and it just overheated and, you know, broke a solder joint or something. And that just, you know, maybe that's all I need. We'll see, you know, I'll definitely give a report back on some podcast here if he comes back with it, you know, like in the next week or two or whatever, and see how long it actually lasts. We'll see.
Gotcha. Very cool.
I don't know if you got time for one more story from this week.
Oh yeah.
I had one. Now this one, I got it fixed and got it back to the customer. I would have liked to take it to I always want to try to figure out what happened. Sometimes you just can't, you know, you just can't fix it. You can make it work though.
Right.
So this customer brings in a desktop, and it was an older Compaq. I think it was a Pentium 4 or an older AMD running XP Media Center edition. Yeah. And when you log into his user account, when you turn the computer on, the taskbar at the bottom was all black. There was no start button, no writing, no clock, nothing down there at all. It was just black.
Okay. If you took the mouse over it, could you still see the mouse?
Yeah, you could see the mouse. You could click on where the start button would be, and I take that back. I think the start button was there, but everything else was black. You click start, the menu that would pop up that would normally have all programs and everything else in there mm-hmm. was all black with mm-hmm. no text. So basically you could kind of go in there and find your way around. Things were there, but you just couldn't see what they were. Mm-hmm. And you click on them. If you right click on the desktop, you know, like to change the display properties, like I thought, well, maybe it's high contrast mode or a theme is messed up or something.
Right.
So I'd right click on the desktop, I'd get a black box with a bunch of random kind of icons, like my computer icon and stuff on the left side of this black box.
I'm like totally confused here, Eric.
Yeah. So I did, and if I booted into safe mode, it was the exact same. It would do the exact same thing. So what I did is I created a new user and everything worked perfect.
Perfect.
No black boxes on nothing. So I went into the new user and I looked in the themes and I was hoping there was some way I could change the settings of one user from another administrator user. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find any way to do that. But I did find a theme that when it gave me the preview of the theme, mm-hmm. and it was called Win7, blah, 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 something, it was a black box that was showing in the preview of this theme. So I don't know if that's what it was for sure. I tried updating the video drivers to see if maybe if it had a fancy theme, the video drivers were too old to display it properly.
Right.
And I did have some, you know, if I was moving a window around, it would have tracers behind it, like it was running slow, like the memory wasn't keeping up. And when I did install the newest video driver, that went away.
Okay.
But the black screen thing didn't go away.
Wow.
So what I did, I did a FABS auto backup. And any tech who doesn't have FABS auto backup, run to go get that. It's an extremely useful program. I use it multiple times a day. So I did a FABS auto backup of that user and then deleted that user account, renamed the new account to the same as what the old user account was, and reinstalled all of his data and settings into the new one, and it worked fine.
Very smart move. Yeah, podnuts.com/FABS, F-A-B-S. Take you right there. It's where you can get it. Yeah, FABS is one of those tools. I think of it as a time saver, but you used it as a rescue module. That's genius.
I use every computer, my MO, my little SOP, if you will.
Right.
Every computer that comes in here, if it's got viruses or problems on it, I use Acronis True Image and make an image of the whole hard drive. And I do a FABS backup of everybody, of all their data. That's the first two things I do, along with testing the hard drive. The hard drive comes out of whatever laptop or desktop it is, goes into my toaster, and we do those two things first.
Smart man. Is that a eSATA toaster?
I have an eSATA and a USB 3, both.
Oh, wow.
I kind of like using the USB 3 sometimes. Not as much now, but because the eSATA, I always have to reboot the computer for it to see the new hard drive in that toaster. But now I've got an SSD drive in there, so rebooting is not a time-consuming problem anymore. It reboots very quickly.
Yeah, SSDs are nice, man.
Yeah, yeah. My buddy Liam has been trying to tell me to get an SSD drive for so long, and I put it off, and that was running off the USB 3, you know, before, so I really didn't need it. But I think, honestly, it gives a cleaner read, especially if you're doing hard drive testing.
Right.
Error checking and things like that, to go from eSATA than through the USB, because you're going through the whole system more than just straight into just where the hard drive should be.
Exactly. Scott Moulton, myharddrive.com, said going through USB, and I believe USB 3 is the same thing, there's certain base hard drive calls that cannot be made, where with eSATA, more native hard drive calls can be made, which can make diagnosis much more accurate and faster.
But that's cool. I gotta agree.
I mean,
cloning, and he knows what he's talking about.
Well, I don't question him. Only a fool questions him, in my opinion. But to make an image backup, to FABS backup and test the hard drive, you are A, covering your butt, but at the same token, you are covering their data just in case the worst happens and that hard drive is ready to die. You have all your backups. You are ready. You're prepared. You know, that's a good way to keep good with your customers.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things the techs have said over the years have really stuck with me. One thing comes from Steve D'Amico, and he said, I don't know where he said it, but I remember him saying it, you never lose your customer's data. Don't lose your customer's data. That's the thing. But not only does it cover your customer's data, it then empowers you as a computer tech that you can now do whatever the crap you want to do to this computer yep. to fix it. You don't have to say, well, if I do this, it might delete blah, 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 and I won't be able to get it back. You know what? You got it back. You can go back to the minute they brought it into your shop in, you know, within a half an hour.
Yeah.
So you can do whatever you want and need to do to this computer now that you've got those backups done.
Yeah, I relate that to American football on offense. When there's offsides, the offense has a free play. Because the defense was bad, the play still goes on. You as a quarterback, you now have the freedom to throw the ball deep, and I don't even care if it's an interception. I don't care if the worst possible thing happens, because all we got to do is say, you're offside. So you're kind of doing the same thing. You have the freedom to literally do whatever you want that you think can fix it without, oh, well, if I delete their temp data, is it going to delete that? Well, if I do this, is it going to damage that? You don't have to worry about that at all. That is a very good feeling.
Yeah, it is. And it was something I was missing. I mean, when I first started, that was an essential part that I should have had there in place. Because, you know, not only did I lose people's data at first a couple times, and that's a bad feeling. You don't want that feeling. You know, it sucks for them to lose their stuff, and it really sucks for you to be the guy who said their stuff's gone.
Yeah.
You don't want to ever have that. Yeah, so that, you know, yeah, those are nice things to do.
Yeah, and I got to say, listen, people, listen to his words, live by his experience, don't have it happen to you. Whatever you do, don't be the person that has to go to them and say, I lost everything. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
Yeah, and I like to be the guy who says, I got everything back, and there's, I guess if we got time, I'd like to just give a shout out to a couple programs that I use.
Oh yeah, of course.
I use, I might have to walk over to my bench computer and look at, I can't remember the names of them right now. let me do that for just a second. If you can you,
Sure. Yeah. I will say, if you've never heard of Fabs Auto Backup, it has the ability from a live environment backup complete user settings from every user on the computer. It can back up personal folder, desktop, background, search, my documents, my pictures, my music, my video, web browsers, favorites, settings, Google Chrome profile, Opera profile, Firefox setting, mail, on and on and on and on and on and on. If you ever have to reformat a drive and you don't have Fabs, you are doing too much work. I can say that very safely.
Yeah, it is so easy to use, man. I love it. I had a lady come in with an iPhone that got dropped in a swimming pool.
Or so she said.
Or it could have been any insert liquidy place.
Exactly.
So this thing was dead, right? So she'd had it about a year. And her kid was about a year old. Every picture she'd ever taken of this kid, she took with this iPhone. Oh. And she had never made an Apple account backup. I don't know what I even call it, iCloud or whatever. Just never. She had nothing. No pictures of her kids except, well, I mean, she may take them to Sears or something. She didn't tell me about that. But she had all her kids' pictures on this iPhone. So what I did is I took it apart. I cleaned it up with alcohol, got all the corrosion off of it, and put a brand new battery in it. Got it to power on enough just to hook it up to my desk bench computer. I couldn't repair the phone. The phone would not turn on, but it was able to be seen by my bench computer, and I used a program called iPhone Backup Extractor. It's not a free program, but I think it was $30, if I remember right. I was able to do a backup of her phone, and then with this program, I was able to go into that backup and actually take the data that it saved in some kind of Apple proprietary format and get her pictures off of it that way. That was that phone's last hurrah. After that battery died, it died again and it was done.
Wow.
But it was enough to get her stuff back. And there's, you know, when you get the bad feeling that you lost the data, this is the opposite. Right. When she had very little hope that there was going to be anything good come out of it. She was really upset.
Dude, I got to ask you though, as you were doing it and as you were seeing files coming back, did you have like some music going through your head or something? Because when I feel that good, I have some kind of music going through my head.
Yeah, I had to turn on Songza. That's one of my favorite apps on the Android phones, but it's also got a wonderful website. And then you just turn on the songs from Apple commercials station, and you just play that the whole time, and it makes you smile.
Very cool, man. Very cool. Yeah, looking at that site, it was iPhoneBackupExtractor.com. They do say they have a free version, but it wouldn't shock me if it actually doesn't do what you need it to do.
Yeah, it may say yes or no. It can do something, or may, I'm not sure.
Yeah, what it looks like, the free one can do a backup that you can restore on a phone, but not actually extract any data. That's what I think I'm reading here.
And there's also another one called iExplorer, too, I think. And that, I think that one was actually free. Unless I may have it backwards. Maybe iExplorer was the paid one. The iPhone Backup Extractor was the free one. I'm not sure.
Gotcha.
Do you see that one anywhere?
Yeah, I do see iExplorer, and they say, both of them say download for Mac, download for PC. Buy now for iExplorer is only one version, and it's $34.99.
Okay, so I take that back. That was the one that was free. That one saved my bacon. I don't remember if it was that exact phone, but that one was nice that I was able to get. You can read your iPhone like a hard drive with it,
gotcha,
basically, and you can get in and recover stuff. And it may have been that one that I used.
Gotcha.
I think I bought it for that instance. And then another thing, for any flash drive, I had a customer come in, and this is a program that I've used for quite a while. It's called PC Inspector Smart Recovery.
Oh, yeah.
It's a German company that makes it. It's totally free. But I had a lady come in and tell me that her son deleted all of the pictures that were on her camera from their vacation, and she was really hoping she could get, you know, 300 pictures back. And it did. It's kind of like an undelete. It'll go through and scan your files on an SD card, and things that were deleted months, years ago, even, you know, if you haven't written over them too much, will come right back up. And the times that I've used it, people are really surprised at the stuff that comes back, because they were kind of hoping maybe all that wasn't back. But, you know, I can only give them it spits out whatever was there. You know, things don't actually go away, people, sometimes.
Yeah. And I did use this one more than a couple times in the past. And I believe the thing that I really liked about this app was, during the restore process, it actually gave you smart, at least named previews of what you were going to restore. So you kind of knew if you were wasting your time. Because there was a couple apps out there that really just gave back what appeared to be junk file names until you did a restore. And I've done like 4 gigabyte restores, and still I wasn't able to have the files I had. That I was looking for, where PC Inspector let me see ahead of time if I was getting the correct files.
Yeah, I've been really happy with this program. Another program I use is, I'd have to remember the name of it. This is for hard drives with major problems. and it's from Seagate, and it's a I think it's like DIY data recovery.
Yeah.
This one costs $100, but it works wonderfully. If you ever get a hard drive that you mount in your toaster, or it shows up as a hard drive, but it doesn't show up any data about how big it is or if anything's on it or not. As long as the disk isn't clicking, this usually will give you your data back off of it. But like you said about the flash drive recoveries, this one doesn't really do a whole lot of, I mean, it's going to rename everything for one. It's all going to be in a numbered order. You can sort it by JPEGs and things like that. You can have it hunt for just certain types of files, or you can have it hunt for everything. But it's very, very powerful tool. Definitely worth the $100 if you have somebody with a crashed hard drive and stuff that they need off of it.
Gotcha.
I've been using it for quite a few years, actually.
I'll say I don't recognize this one, so this is a definitely new one to me. And good tools, I mean, choice is gold. This is what I really love about computer tech.
Yeah, there's probably 5 different ways to do the same stuff. And I got to say, I'm not any more, I'd like to be an all Linux shop, but, whatever.
Yeah,
I use what I got to use and get her done.
Yeah, I'll say the best thing to me about a all Linux shop is the legality you can do, because most of it's free software, but also the upstart prices cost to you is much less. You don't have to go out and buy as much stuff. But bottom line is, use what tools work for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is very cool. Well, Eric, I'm not going to lie. I mean, you took me on the complete gambit of emotions, from pity to sorrow to disbelief, dismay about these hard drives and how these companies are treating people, to good stories about making people smile, bringing back 10 years worth of photos. So I got to thank you for ending it on a high note and not on a down note.
Cool.
That is absolutely cool. Okay, once again, can I ask, where can people find you at?
Yes, Eric Ardini. It's ARDUINI on Google+. You can also find me at the siliconwrench.com, or I'm also on Google+ under the Silicon Wrench. You can also find me on geeksters.tv. I do a podcast every Tuesday. I'm the host of that. And if you get around to it, listen to episode 49 of Geeksters if you're interested in getting a free Raspberry Pi. We're going to try to give one away.
Extra cool. And he might not say this, but I'm going to say this. If you have family, friends, relatives, anyone you care about anywhere remotely by Rock Falls, Illinois, siliconwrench.com will hook them up.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dor.
That's right. No problem, sir. And honestly, I like talking to you. I already talk to you once a week on Android App Addicts, but I really like talking to you. Please, sir, anytime you want to come back, all you have to do is let me know. We will find time and we will do it.
Definitely. I will keep, and that's something too. I love being on Podnuts Daily, but I haven't been, when I knew that I was going to be on coming up, I'd start jotting down these crazy things that are going on in the shop, weird stuff that I saw that I can bring. So yeah, I'm going to start jotting those down again so I can have a good war chest next time I'm on.
Very cool. Very cool. With that, thanks everybody for tuning in. Thank everybody for downloading. And I thank everybody for going to podnuts.com/Amazon. Take it easy, everybody.